veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye!
That you consent to any torture that I bring upon you.
Gonna cry.
It's fine. This one won't be too bad, I don't think. It's more.
You always say that, and I always feel like needing to call my therapist and be like, "Hey."
I'm keeping them.
You know what they have at the therapist's office? It is a soundproof box that has like a chair and a little desk and a, like a lamp in it. It's completely soundproof, so you can go inside and scream if you need to.
Oh,
not the coolest thing.
I love that.
They just unveiled it, and I was like, this is genius. Just go inside, let it out.
Well, I use my car to do that, so.
I know.
Yeah. Usually you hear most of it. And then I take my road rage out on it, too. Just, Jake's had a bad day. Get the fuck out of my way.
Oh, speaking of TikTok, there's a creator that's British that moves to Alberta, like Calgary area. And they post like adorable things about Canada. And she was like, they call roundabouts traffic circles. How fucking adorable. I was like, oh yeah, we do call them traffic circles because it's traffic in a circle.
Very to the point.
I know. Just like I think on that same one was like everybody orders a double double at Timmy's and they call it Timmy's. What?
Oh, because it's Tim Hortons or something, right?
But we go to Timmy's. Yeah. Like short, concise, large coffee, two cream, two sugar, double double. Get it in, you get out. Got to drive around those traffic circles.
Do you call them when you like? When you do spin a donut, like in the parking lot, is that what you call it? Or do you like cookies or what do you call that?
You can spin donuts. Yeah. We spin donuts in a circle, but if you do a U-turn, it's called flipping a shitty.
Oh, I said bitch with that one.
No, bitch is the middle seat in a truck.
Oh yeah. That one.
Somebody has to sit in the bitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually the tallest guy for some reason. I saw a moving van yesterday and it was four guys packed into the front seat of the moving van. I was like, they're so cute. They were all like
probably trying their hardest not to touch like
it was so cute.
It's gay if I'm too comfortable right here.
Fun times.
Yeah. Also, this is probably going to be old by the time this recording comes out, but the new Taylor Swift album has wrecked me, so.
You need to go to my therapist's office and use their soundproof box?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make or an like appointment
those,
for you.
Or like one of those rooms where you can break stuff with a hammer.
Oh, that would be therapeutic, yeah.
Yeah. I've done that before. It's really fun. Yeah.
I feel like my rage doesn't come out in that way. Like, I would be like, But I did read something about people who listen to, like, angry music. It's, like, a healthy expression of rage, so they don't have to, like, smash and break stuff. And I was like, that actually makes sense. Yeah. So maybe I am actually healthy. I almost said it
talk
was
to your, talk to your therapist about that.
My rage room of screaming.
So I've been keeping Dusty in the like in suspense on this one. Just been keeping it secret. Because that's what she loves. Her anxiety loves to be kept in suspense. So
and I guessing love it all so the time. Much.
It's her favorite thing in the world.
I just need more medication. It's fine.
Yeah.
Why are you asking for an increase? Because Jake.
Say no more. I didn't know you had to deal with him. Okay.
You drink that much coffee and you talk to Jake every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just get you medicated right up there.
My coworker, she'll have like a therapy therapy appointment during work, and I'll be like, "Oh, did you give him my agenda? Like, what you need to talk about?" And like, I'm on the list, obviously. And she's like, "Yeah, I got to go talk about you."
My mom's always like, "Does your therapist know about?" And I'm like, "Yes, mom. Yes, I do. They know all about you."
Oh. You know, you're on a first name basis.
I'm just going to FaceTime my mom whilst in a therapy session and be like, here you go. See? Just deal with this, please. Gotcha.
So I don't even know how to preface this. Okay. So, well, I was thinking about it and I was like, there's a lot of like weird Mormon lore, you know, like there's like the Cain thing,
Bigfoot,
and then there's the three Nephites, and then there's the pop up to fix tires and something, you know, and then disappear, like that kind of thing. And then there's
my ex-husband swears we got stuck on the road, a bearing broke in our car, and he's convinced that it was one of the three Nephites that helped us on the side of the road.
Yeah. Well.
He owned a tire shop, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, because the three Nephites just, you know, they were preserved specifically for, you know, fixing tires.
Yeah. I don't know. I, like, found the tire shop and, like, sent money to the guy. He's a legit guy. He's just not some, like, immortal being that...
Well, this one I kind of stumbled on, and it, like, cracked up. Are you looking at... What are you... You're, like, looking around everywhere. Are
sorry,
you,
somebody just, like, was screaming, and I was like, what is happening? It's fine.
Sorry. Oh, okay. No, you're good. I was like, come back to me, Dusty. Focus.
Dogs are running around everywhere. It's fine. Everything's fine. I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the podcast. So, and I forgot about this thing, but then I was like, once I started reading up on it again, I was like, oh shit, so we got to talk about this. So it's the city of Enoch.
Oh yeah. Oh, I have theories about this.
Oh, it probably matches with what you, maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll get into that. So, this is straight from the church's website. It's a primary lesson, so geared towards kids. All right. So this is some highlights of what.
So it's going to be right where my brain needs to be.
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect. I got this.
Like, I knew my audience here. Yep. So I was like.
Oh, girl. 15 minutes. Pack it in there. We're good.
So when Enoch was first called to be a prophet, he felt inadequate. He was young and slow of speech, but he exercised faith and obeyed the Lord's will. Enoch talked with the Lord face to face and saw many visions. He prophesied of the restoration of the gospel and the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. It's from it. It's like also like quoting. It's like quoting yourself, like because. It's saying Enoch was quoted in Moses, which was written by Joseph Smith also. You know, like, it's just, anyway.
Yeah.
Truthful, so, I set forth out of the earth. It's like those.
The Book of Mormon's true because the Book of Mormon says the Book of Mormon's true.
Yeah. It's like those, those plugs, what are they called? Where you got the multiple outlets in a plug. What am I talking about?
It's like an extension cord.
It's like an extension cord plugged into itself. Yeah. So he prophesied of the restoration of the gospel, the Book of Mormon, the preaching of the gospel to all the world, the building of the New Jerusalem, and the ushering in of the millennium. Enoch taught, helped convert, and baptized many people who became so righteous that they lived in a city of holiness, even Zion. This holy city was taken up into heaven and will return at the time of the millennium. When it returns, it will join with the earthly Zion, which is the New Jerusalem. So that's the end of that primary lesson. I don't know if that was the full thing. I don't remember what I grabbed, but those were like the highlights.
Oh, okay.
So, but short this is, yeah. So it's basically like this guy made the city so righteous that they were lifted up into heaven. And
they were raptured.
Yeah, but they took the whole city. And I'm just like
buildings too.
that's what I'm picturing. That's how it was always like, you know, like it just like scooped up the whole thing and whoop, like lifted up into heaven. I'm like,
Imagine like the animals being like, what the shit?
So this is from BYU Studies by David J. Larson, who received his PhD from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland with a dissertation, The Royal Psalms and the Dead Sea Scrolls. So he's holds an MA degree in biblical theology and a BA in Near East Studies from BYU. He is the author of the blog Heavenly Ascents, where he explores topics in early Jewish and Christian mysticism, LDS theology, and other topics in religious studies.
Imagine going to St. Andrews and then BYU. It's a weird pipeline.
The works of scholars such as George Nicholsberg and Hugh Nibley has opened our eyes to ancient traditions regarding the figure of Enoch, so that we, as the Latter-day Saints, have come to realize that a wealth of knowledge that the prophet Joseph Smith provided when he produced his inspired renderings of the first several chapters in Genesis, including the greatly expanded story of Enoch. One of the many most significant additions to the biblical record in Joseph's revelation on Enoch is not only that Enoch was taken up alive into heaven, as the Genesis passage implies, but also that the entire city of Enoch was eventually received up into heaven as well. Whereas the idea of Enoch as an individual ascending to heaven is common in the ancient religious literature regarding the patriarch, parallels to the notion of his entire community being translated and taken up as well are not so apparent. So he basically just fan fictioned the Bible and, you know, like, oh, this guy, this obscure character in the Bible, he actually took up the whole city instead of him. That's really what happened.
Because Enoch was a prophet, he taught what was good. People in his city did just as they should.
Oh,
This is going in my head since you said Enoch.
no.
He primary songs, like,
Hey.
in my head forever.
In chapter 7 of the Book of Moses in the Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith provides us with an extensive account of how Enoch built a city called the City of Holiness, even Zion. You know, that whole thing, even, like the even Jesus Christ.
From Not So Molly Marmot. I was dying listening. I was like, you're right though. Even Jake Taylor.
Even Dusty
Like, what a
Delmeyer.
weird thing to say.
I'm gonna start saying that to you. Just casually.
That'd be as weird as people calling me by my real name.
Oh, I know. I was talking to you about that earlier. Like, I don't. Like, that feels weird in my mouth.
Imagine my husband.
We are then told that Zion, in process of time, was taken up into heaven. Similarly, Moses 769, nice, 769 states, and Enoch and all his people walked with God, and he dwelt in the midst of Zion, and it came to pass that Zion was not, for God received it up into his own bosom, and from thence went forth for the saying, Zion is fled. Because we are informed that God came and dwelled in Zion, it is probably safe to assume that Enoch's city had a temple. Which, I mean, that's a lot of assuming. This was the belief of Brigham Young, who stated, I will not say but what Enoch had temples and officiated therein, but we have no account of it.
Forgiving the racist.
Yeah, the racist
Kind of suspect of everything he says.
bitch. One of the most intriguing elements of Joseph Smith's inspired translation of Genesis is that this concept of communal ascent is not limited to Enoch's city of Zion. Once Zion had been elevated to the Lord's presence, this established a pattern for others to follow. With Enoch's Zion removed from the world, the residue of the people left behind continued to increase in wickedness, a downward spiral that ultimately ended with the coming of the great flood to cleanse the earth of their iniquity. The residue.
Forensic shit. Jesus.
Yeah. Moses 7:27 informs us that the more righteous living between the time of Enoch and Noah were removed from this dismal situation, and the Holy Ghost fell on many, and they were caught up by the powers of heaven into Zion. Wait, so why? How did, if they were all so evil? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to even try.
I was going to say, don't even. No.
In an interesting New Testament parallel, the author of the Epistle of to the Hebrews mentions the translation of Enoch in his discussion of the faith of the ancients. He then goes on to mention how Abraham, while he was wandering in the land of promise, living in tents, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The text goes on to imply that all of the patriarchs were seeking to reach or return to a country or a city, a heavenly city. They associate that city with Mount Zion. There's a lot of there's a lot more in this than I really want to get into. I didn't really have a whole lot of time to cut it down. So I'm going to the motif of the ascent of the community to the heavenly realm, although perhaps not as well known as the great stories of individual ascenders, is not as difficult as defined as it may initially appear. Hugh Nibley, Hugh Nibley is like, he's like a biblical Book of Mormon
scholar. Why do I know that name? He's a Book of Mormon scholar?
Yeah, and biblical, and he's like, he gets into like all the like cosmos and stuff, like the big deep sciencey side of it, which doesn't make sense. I just always remember hearing about him and like his quotes and stuff. I'm like, it's just way in depth and like way out there. Like
he's like
deep doctrine type stuff.
Okay. Because I know that name, but I don't know why I know that name.
Yeah.
There's lots of things that are in my brain that I have no reason why.
He was around in like the 70s, I want to say.
Okay.
Probably 80s and maybe even and probably prior to that. But like, I think that's where his, I just remember he sold all of his books, a Deseret Book. Yeah. And it's usually like the missionaries that would have read Hugh Nibley would be like, they'd hold it as like a, I'm smarter than everybody.
Oh, it's probably my ex-husband why I know the name then, because he was one of those.
So he has a book, Enoch the Prophet. It pulls from Adolf Jelinek's collection of Jewish traditions, Bet HaMidrash. I don't know if I said that right. A story of more than 800,000 men who followed Enoch and refused to leave him as he was about to be taken up into... That sounds gay.
I was going to say, sounds like a good time.
Although 800,000 men is...
That's a lot of men. That's a lot of men.
A lot of...
A lot of dick swinging.
I know. I was going to say, like, that's a lot of penises. they followed Enoch and refused to leave him as he was... They were obsessed with him as he was about to be taken up into heaven riding a chariot of fire. Although the text does not... What? Yeah. Why are you so obsessed with me? Although the text does not explicitly depict this large company ascending into heaven together with Enoch, it does state that when the kings of the land came to find these thousands of followers of Enoch, they were not found and were thought to be dead. So the...
like they had GPS trackers on these people. Like, people could just up and move and you'd never find them again.
Yeah. This was back in way ancient times. Like, they didn't... Yeah. Maybe they just like
didn't have a forwarding address.
Yeah. So there's another account that is similar to the story of Enoch and the city of Zion, but involves the ascension of a different group. Is the early Jewish story entitled "The History of the Rechabites"? Rechabites, R-E-C-H-A-B-I-T-E-S.
Rechabites. Rechabites. Yeah. That's how I would probably say it, which is probably wrong, let's be honest. Like, I don't even know how to pronounce half the shit in Sarah J. Maas's book, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. this document tells a man named Zosimus, who was taken up into paradise where he encountered a group of luminous beings called the Blessed Ones. These Blessed Ones, to whom Zosimus also refers to as earthly angels, were surprised to see him in their midst and expressed that they did not expect to meet mortals until the end of the world. They asked Zosimus all about the happenings on Earth and then proceeded to recount their own history and how they came to live in paradise. They declared that they were originally from Earth, where they were known as the Sons of Rechab. Rechab. Hence, Rechabites. Rechab. Sons of Rechab. That sounds weird. Because they would not obey the wicked king. My goodness, the names here. This is like reading a high fantasy. Because they would not obey the king, the wicked king Jehoiakim. We'll say that. Jehoiakim's request that they renounce their covenants and abandon the Lord, they were imprisoned. They were then miraculously freed from prison by angels who came from heaven in a brilliant light and were lifted up to dwell in paradise. They lived there as mortals, but were without sin, purified and spotless, cleansed from all corruption. They lived in the light of God and had a shining appearance. Angels came among them and told them of the righteousness and wickedness of the world, which caused them to grieve. Regarding their sinless and harmonious state, they explained, among us there is no sickness, pain, fatigue to our bodies, mutilation, weariness, or temptations. Not even Satan's power can touch us. And it's big old schlong, can't touch you. Dang it. For there is not among us rage, jealousy, evil desire, or hateful thoughts, but we experience only quietness and gladness and exhibit love and affection toward God and each other. A bunch of men showing love for God and each other. Sounds like a good time.
We've stumbled onto gay TikTok again.
The parallels between the story of the Rechabites and the account of Enoch's people in the Book of Moses are numerous, which they seem to think that this is like a there's a similarity, but maybe Joseph Smith just read about the Rechabites and was like, oh, you know what, actually that happened to Enoch too.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a recurring theme and that he like knew about it and wrote about it. It's weird.
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 Let's see. So, let me just fast forward here. This guy, Scott Mackey, has attempted a reconstruction of the dramatic portrayal of the of a divine adoption ceremony. Says one depiction of Jesus' ascent to heaven and entry into the celestial temple, the great high priest that has passed into heavens, Christ entered into heaven itself. Two, dramatic reenactment of the Son's exaltation. Now see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, sit on my right hand. Declaration three, declaration of familial relationship between Father and Son. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Son confers family membership on community, they are his siblings. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me, bringing many sons unto glory. Of course, just sons. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Five, community is provided access to the heavenly temple by Jesus, their high priest. They are exhorted to boldly enter the heavenly sanctuary and draw near to God's throne. According to Mackey, all of this would have been performed by actors or described in it. So they, he created this like actual like play about it.
So people are LARPing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm into it.
They would have been performed by actors or described in a way that the participants could vividly imagine themselves as being in the heavenly temple and visualize Christ on his throne and so on. Anyway. All right. So we're going to... This is basically all... Just Mackie talking about how great this story is and how it just... Anyway. But I went to Reddit... because I wanted to see if like other people remembered this whole thing, because I feel like it's something that's like kind of obscure that doesn't get like talked about very much.
Yeah.
But this is where I get into like the lore of it, and it's great. All right. So is the mythology I grew up with surrounding the city of Enoch completely unique to the church? One answer. This is like continuing in the question. So as a youth, I was always fascinated with the city of Enoch. Recently in Gospel Doctrine, we talked a little bit about it, and the only reference I could find from the Old Testament refers to Enoch as the son of Cain, and the city of Enoch being built by Cain and named after his son. In the footnote, it specifically warns the reader not to confuse the city of Enoch with the real city of Enoch, which was built by a descendant of Seth. So there's two city of Enochs? I don't know. So my question is, where does the lore about the entire city being translated come from? And is it only in the Book of Moses, or is it in one of the apocryphal books of Enoch as well, or what? I had always thought this, the city of Enoch was pretty mainstream, but I can't find any non-LDS sources talking about it online either. Probably because Joseph Smith made it up. All right, so one response It says, and Kane knew his wife and she conceived. Kane knew his wife. They fucked and she conceived and bare Enoch. Like,
she knew him biblically.
Literally, because this is in the Bible. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Yeah, this is the one that threw me. Here's the footnote for that verse. Do not confuse Enoch of Cain's lineage and the city of his name with the Enoch of Seth's lineage and the city Zion of his name. It says the cognitive dissonance is strong here. This is literally the only reference to a city of Enoch in the entire Bible. It's like they couldn't accept this, that the son of Cain, he refers a very racist term there, could have built Zion. But I think this person is speaking kind of facetiously in that aspect. So it's not that that makes it right, but like you didn't need to put that in there. I'm not going to say it. So they were like, oh no, the other Enoch built a totally different city. And that's the one we're talking about. Looking deeper into this, there were actually two Enochs. I was not aware of this until now. Looks like there are such similarities in Cain and Seth's line that some scholars actually believe them to be the same. In response, they said, that's really interesting. What I found humorous is that it really feels like all the racist old men couldn't handle the idea of Zion being built by Cain and attributed the building of the city to the other Enoch, who is simply not mentioned at all in connection to a city outside of the Book of Moses and the Masonic tradition. Wild, huh? The racism runs deep. That they were... So even in this part of the doctrine, they can't believe that, like, oh, Cain's children...
Yeah.
Cain and his children built this city.
But like,
and that it was so righteous, full of, like, yeah.
Although, being a Supernatural fan, I come to the conclusion of, like, there was, like, stipulations upon Cain and why he had to become the father of murder. And I could go down that whole rabbit hole, and we're not gonna, because that's a whole
other podcast. That we should do a whole episode on... like each of the lore, like kind of like break it down a little bit. That'd be fun.
Can we please?
Yes.
Because coming from like growing up Mormon and then watching Supernatural like rip apart religious belief systems is so satisfying and I love it so much.
Right.
Also, I love Lucy. That, tell me that Lucifer is not like the best character on that show. Oh my god, great. I love him so much.
Well, he's the best character in the Bible, too, so it Clearly. Makes sense.
Oh, my dad.
praise Satan. Let's see. This is another part of the response. Maybe that's why they took the city up into heaven, because a city of black people living in the united order and behaving perfectly wasn't exactly what God had in mind when he cursed them with blackness.
Oh, that makes me sick. Oh.
Yeah. And I don't know if that person, anyway, that's a response on Reddit, but I just like the racism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was like, I don't know who, you don't know on Reddit. Anyway.
Yeah, you have no idea. That's the fun of it. You can meet anyone.
Let's see. So this is from the Square magazine. While the reference to Enoch is relatively brief within canonical biblical scripture, the apocryphal Book of Enoch brings an intriguing perspective to his story. This ancient Jewish text, which didn't make it into the official biblical canon, is revered by some religious sects, such as the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. The Book of Enoch provides fascinating details on Enoch's life and his encounters with divine beings, including angels and fallen angels. Satan! Fallen angel. In this text, Enoch is depicted as a scribe of righteousness who is highly favored by God. It offers accounts of his astral journeys, where he receives divine knowledge about creation, the nature of the universe, and future events related to humanity. Consequently, Enoch is often associated with wisdom, spirituality, and prophetic insight. In Islamic tradition, Enoch is equated with the figure of Idris, a prophet mentioned in the Quran. Similar to Enoch's narrative in the Bible, Idris is described as having been raised to a high station by Allah. That's interesting that it's even in.
Yeah, it is.
There. Let's see, I'm trying to. Just being a professional and looking forward in my notes. Let's
see. It's on brand.
Yeah. So this is a universalfreemasonry.com. Their insight on it. They get into like Enoch being the seventh of the patriarchs. Him the most high, wrapped in a balmy cloud with winged steeds. balmy cloud? That sounds.
It sounds like somebody got some mushrooms. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Did, as thou seest, receive to walk with God high in salvation and the claims of bliss, exempt from death. I shall first present the reader with the Masonic legend and then endeavor to trace out the idea that it was intended to convey. So it's also a Masonic legend, which tracks because,
Joseph Smith and Mason. Yeah, J-Dog ripped off the Masons. That makes perfect sense, actually. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So in the Masonic legend, he was inspired by the Most High and in obedience to a vision constructed underground in the bosom of Mount Moriah, an edifice consisting of 9 brick vaults situated perpendicularly beneath each other and communicating by apertures left in the arch of each vault. He then caused a triangular plate of gold to be made, which each side of which was a cubit long. He then encrusted the plate upon a stone of agate of the same form which he placed upon a cubit. Did all this, like, he built a thing underground with a plate of gold. Cubits, I get lost when they start saying cubits.
Yeah.
Okay, can we not?
Unfortunately, all I can think of is the horrible Bill Cosby doing, like, the Noah thing and, what's a cubit?
Oh, yeah.
All I can think of. He's a horrible human being, but anyways.
Which is so heartbreaking because he was such a,
I loved the Cosby Show
me
growing
too.
Up.
Me too.
Why do people have to be assholes?
Yeah. Let's see. So the legend proceeds to inform us that after Enoch had finished the construction of the 9 vaults, fearing that the principles of the arts and sciences, which he had assiduously cultivated, could be lost in that universal deluge, of which he had received a prophetic vision, he erected above ground 2 pillars, one of marble to withstand the destructive influences of foe, and one of brass to resist the action of water. On the pillar of brass, he engraved the history of the creation. He built the vault. And such is the legend, which forms a very important part of the legendary history of the high degrees. As a traditional narrative, it is not the slightest support of authentic history, and the events that it relates to do not recommend themselves by an error probability. So it most likely didn't happen, is what they're saying.
It's fake. Really? It's fake. It's made up.
So what is your theory about the City of Enoch?
Okay, so this is
what I was going to get into.
I grew up with an adventurous family, lots of camping and going to third world countries and all that stuff. So I was always taught that Machu Picchu is the City of Enoch.
Oh, interesting.
That just was knowledge that because there's no
mountain. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no evidence of any sort of attacks on the city. They're completely. Yeah. And so a lot of.
They're isolated and
away from
everything.
Yeah.
And
hard they were never attacked. Nobody ever reached the mountaintop citadel.
Hard to
but
penetrate.
No...
That's a penetration.
They never penetrated.
The Barrington City. Anyway.
There's a theory that it was abandoned due to the Spanish conquest of Peru in the 16th century. But it's possible that they fled. I was always taught that it was, that they were lifted up into heaven, but a lot of scholars believe it was smallpox from the Spanish and they just died.
Oh.
I know. Damn colonizers. What?
They strike again. So one of the theories, and this is the one that I was like, oh my God, I remember hearing about this. So Mormons believe that the City of Enoch was where the Gulf of Mexico is now.
Oh, I've not heard this. Tell
really?
Me everything. Tell me everything. No, because my dad, I have a picture of my dad doing a headstand on the precipice of Machu Picchu. That is just my life. So no, I don't know other stories.
That's interesting. And it's also like how they, a lot of, you'll go down to, I remember my parents going to like Mexico and like visiting as a Tulum and like Mezatlan. Anyway, and there's,
oh, I love Tulum so much.
They visit those temples and there's like a tour, and I think BYU sponsors a tour down there where it's like they talk about like possible Book of Mormon history, quote unquote, and the the Quetzalcoatl is like supposed to be like this white winged spirit that came down or whatever, and they think that's Jesus when he came to visit. So I still remember that whole thing, but
Like, we went on a tour because we were there just before the Day of the Dead. And so we got to go through, like, all the crypts. And so, oh, my God, it was so cool.
Very cool. Anyway,
I loved it. I love Mexico.
So this this blog is going to get into that side of the Gulf of Mexico thing. It'll explain that. So it's Eve Out of the Garden, which is Deila Taylor, D-E-I-L-A Taylor.com. I don't know. I'm not going to try.
Cousin of yours?
Eve Out of the Garden. Yes, we're all related. All the Taylors.
Because we all came from, like, Noah. So, of course, we're cousins.
So, this blog says, I recently read that Joseph Smith said that the city of Enoch was located where the Gulf of Mexico is today. When God translated the entire city, the Gulf was created. Interesting idea. So, I read up on it and the geology of that area. March 30th, 1873, at evening prayer circle, President Young said Joseph the Prophet told me that the Garden of Eden was in Jackson County, Missouri. And when Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden, he went about 40 miles to the place which he named Adam on Diamond, and there built an altar of stone and ordered sacrifice. That altar remains to this day. I saw it as Adam left it, as did many others, and through all the revolutions of the world, the altar has not been disturbed. Joseph also said that when the city of Enoch fled and was translated, it was where the Gulf of Mexico now is. It left that gulf a body of water. And that's from the Wilford Woodruff's journal, apparently.
That's a huge city if it's the whole Gulf of Mexico.
I know. That's what I'm, but I guess 800,000 men, but there's like Los Angeles is like twice that, if not more. I don't know math. I don't know. But like, and it's like, it's not even near the size of the Gulf.
Like, that's, I'm just looking at it. Like, from New Orleans to Cancun is a chunk of space. Like,
it's a lot of, real estate. After reading this, I recall that in the book Visions of Glory, Spencer talked about the Gulf of Mexico. He saw that a landmass rose from the Gulf of Mexico. Almost all of California was in ruin, with less destruction further away from the coast. I saw that a great landmass had risen up into the Gulf. It extended from Mexico to Florida and consisted of a few large islands that replaced the water of the Gulf. I did not think to look toward Cuba. In some places, the new land meant Mexico, Texas, and Florida, but there was also a large waterway separating most of the new land from America. I did not see where the land came from. It either rose up from the Gulf floor or was pushed north by the earthquakes from South America. The land was not barren. I know, it doesn't make sense. It literally, the land was not barren all over, but large parts of it had trees and other vegetation. Some parts of it were just muddy islands. I am at a loss to explain where it came from. This great landmass created a tidal wave that did a great deal of devastation as far north as Chicago. Jesus. About two-thirds of the Gulf was now a large series of large islands. I did not see the damage this caused worldwide, but I can only assume it was extensive. That's from the Visions of Glory. I don't know. But the,
again, check before you eat the mushrooms. Like, just do a microdose and see how it goes.
Well, and there are like islands, like there's on the Gulf side of Florida. That's where I serve my mission. Anyway,
oh, but that, goodness.
There's like, they're all lying on the Gulf side of Florida. They just kind of line the coast there, and
like those, are those like the Florida Keys or whatever?
Yeah, the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
But they're, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because they're outside of, like, they're outside of the Gulf. They're on, directions. They're on the east side, if you're looking at a map, right?
They're on both sides.
Oh,
They're
are
on the
they? I
west.
thought they were only on the.
They're on the Gulf side
Oh,
too.
all
They're
right
also
then. I have
on
no
the
idea then.
east side. Yeah.
Like American geography is not my forte, sorry.
But really, all that is there, it's literally like just sandbars is all the keys really are. It's just a
Oh,
bunch
so just
of sandbars.
like just naturally built up even over time, like.
Yeah. And if those waters raise any bit, like those are gone because they're
Yeah.
like very
Yeah.
on the, yeah.
Like they're not volcanic islands like the Hawaiian islands, right?
Right. Gorgeous, like gorgeous beaches, gorgeous everything
Oh,
that's
I
where all the
bet,
rich
yeah.
people live in Florida, like you're out on the Keys. But there's, yeah, I don't, but this, I remember this like unlocked something in my brain because I was like, I remember hearing about this and thinking like, oh, that makes sense. Like we used to believe this shit, you know, like.
Do you ever just have that moment of like, oh my God, I used to actually buy into all of it, like all of it,
Used to believe the cane was Bigfoot. Used to
all
believe
of
that
it.
the Gulf of Mexico used to be a city that was raised into heaven.
Well, see, I didn't believe that because I'd never heard that before, but that's interesting to me.
And
But I
then,
mean, had I heard, I probably would have believed it too.
yeah, because you get susceptible to this, like, oh, and like you said, when I was mentioning how about this upcoming thing, I was like, it's just a weird doctrinal thing. And you're like, it's all weird doctrinal
All
stuff,
weird doctrinal
and
things. It's all weird.
But just to finish off with the this blog thing, I'm not sure how many years have passed by this time. It's still pre-second coming, which it's still pre second coming. I mean, second come, is he gonna come again? I already gotta just wait a few minutes and then he can come again. He'll be ready to go, usually.
Grab a power bar. You'll be fine. Let's go.
Yeah, drink a Gatorade.
Oh, dying. Oh, my
In my visions
God.
of these times, I was not shown the return of the city of Enoch. I just knew that they were among us and working on the same labors as we were. So the city of Enoch is among us too? I don't know. Like, which is it? Are they up into heaven? Are they on Machu Picchu? Are they like, where are they? Did they get pushed up to like Louisiana? I don't understand.
They just rode the tidal wave. Like,
It's just an island just like floating on the ocean,
it
just like
moves all the time. You can't find it.
wham. And then those people leave, like they get the little angels that fly into the, and they help McKinsey find her keys. They're like,
God, they help McKinsey fight. They flap their little white wings and they just.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
And then
Mackenzie,
they,
they're on the counter where you've left them every day this week. Get
yeah,
it together, girl.
get it together, you dumb bitch. if I have to come over here again.
Poor
Let's
Mackenzie.
see. I know. The details of their return and the particulars of their mission were not revealed to me. That's convenient. Today, about half of the basin of the Gulf of Mexico Basin is shallow continental shelf waters. The Gulf's bottom is made up of sedimentary rocks, and the entire Gulf is approximately 930 miles wide. That's a big old,
What?
yeah. Geologists believe that the Gulf was formed by plate tectonics when the Pangaea rifted, which, duh. I mean, that makes more sense to me. Before the late Triassic, the area now occupied by the Gulf of Mexico consisted of dry land, which included continental crust that now underlies Yucatan within the middle of the larger supercontinent of Pangaea.
I love that Yucatan. So I just quickly Googled. The distance between you and me right now is less than the distance of the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty large.
Large and in charge. Do you, What is the, I'm just wondering what the expanse of how wide is Texas? Because Texas is huge.
Texas is huge. Let's find out.
How, why? Are you doing it?
Oh, I can do it, yeah. How wide is Texas?
She's a wide bitch.
801 miles length. Oh, yeah. 773 miles width. We don't care about the elevation.
No. Interesting. And then in this map, like, there's like a map that's the weirdest. When you, like, tilt your head, you're just like,
oh. We're both tilting. Oh, my God.
I'm just imagining, instead of moving my phone, I'm like.
I like, they both were like. He took that up on Instagram. You boneheads.
We run a podcast. We're good. We're so smart. Oh, my God. So yeah, that was the city of Enoch, and it's just a wild, I don't know.
It's wild. It's
and
so
really
wild.
There's nothing conclusive, obviously, no, because, and so of course you see it's open, of course it's open to conjecture of like, oh, like you said, it's Machu Picchu. Like yeah. Other people probably have other theories where it's like, oh, it's actually Atlantis. That's the other one I heard of.
Oh yeah, it's Lost City of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Oh, I just watched that cartoon with my kids. It was so good.
I haven't seen that in so long. I've been wanting to watch it.
I love it. My little guy's always like, let's watch it.
Aw.
So cute. He loves girl with the white hair, obviously.
Obviously. What's her name? Like, Akora or...
something like that.
Ashoka or... I don't know. What's her name?
Not Ashoka. That's Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's also a Disney princess, Ahsoka.
Yep. Princess of Atlantis is I can't say it. Kida. They call her Kida because we can't all say her name because we are stupid white people.
Yep.
We can't pronounce things.
I think they need to do, they're doing all these live, you know, live updates of those. They need to do a Atlantis, Journey to Atlantis.
Yeah,
live action.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Just don't move. Just don't even breathe. Just pray, maybe. I say that all the time. just pray, maybe.
Just pray, and the little angels from the city of Enoch will come and save you. Also, I'm picturing, like, because they talked about those 800,000 men, which I'm still hung up on. And I'm picturing, like, this just like a gay city, just like floating in.
But
could you imagine?
Fabulous.
Amazing.
Oh, it would be gorgeous.
And all
the landscape alone?
Yeah. The design, the architecture, the art. The men are all ripped. And orgies everywhere.
Shan't participate there, but
shan't.
We'll bring Gatorade. We'll hand out Gatorade. Just glad to be here. Just happy with my beautiful, well-decorated home. Thank you very much.